Well, it's been a long final cabinet and committee meeting of the year with quite a lot of decisions and papers carrying through into early next year. But I think one of key interest is that the cabinet today has given approval to the design for the redevelopment of Eden Park. And it's important that this happen at this time to enable the planning now for the redevelopment to take place. This will mean that the redevelopment physically can start on schedule in August next year, with construction completed by 2010, and the temporary seating then able to come in the March-April 2011 period. The government is underwriting the project of up to $190 million. We are, of course, still in discussion about some of the small residual that has to be found between what is currently underwritten and contributed and that is outstanding. But that is not of such a sufficient amount to avoid going ahead at this point, and it's very important that there is certainty so the construction people can start to order the equipment they need to order, supplies they need to order, and get on with doing this on schedule. So that's an important decision. If there's any questions on that, if people have to rush away for other deadlines, I'm happy to take them now. But Clayton Cosgrove is the expert, and I understand that the Rugby and Eden Park people have also got their statements out on that.
There's been a lot of controversy and sort of filling and frying on this. Are you certain that you've got this right?
I'm absolutely certain that the redevelopment has to go ahead as agreed with the Eden Park governing authority now. It's important to give certainty. We are a partner as a government on behalf of the people of New Zealand with the rugby union in making sure that this is a very, very successful World Cup. We can't run risks with the process of getting the redevelopment underway. So this design offers the smoothest way forward in a certain location. We can pretty much see the way through to the financing of the whole redevelopment, and it's important now that this goes ahead on schedule.
John Baggs has made a lot of noise about the government putting in more money. Is 190 the limit?
Well, 190 is what we've undertaken to underwrite. As I said, there's still a small residual as yet unidentified, but there'll be discussion continuing with other possible funders, which could be trusts, could be other public funders of some kind. It's not really worth going down the avenue of who they might be today, but we're sufficiently certain to be able to now say, get on and do it. This is the design that we'll run with, and it is very important for the reputation of New Zealand that we get on with it and move towards a successful Rugby World Cup 2011.
How important from resources to do it now rather than, say, next year?
So absolutely critical, because those who are going to be leading the construction tell us that they must place orders before Christmas to guarantee that this is finished on time. And that is absolutely critical. Other options have been investigated a long while back. It came down to Eden Park and doing the very best we could there, given the limitations of the site. And I think it's just time now to get on with it.
Do you expect that the government will actually be handing over $190 million?
I have a reasonable expectation that that's likely, yes. We've given the underwrite, but unfortunately the change of political composition at Auckland City has meant that the generosity of the previous council hasn't carried through. There's still discussion, as I say, to have with public funders in Auckland and elsewhere, but this is not a time for mucking around. When you're told by the construction people that they have to have certainty, I believe it. I want this to be a big success for New Zealand. I don't want it dithering.
And the design that you've approved today, is that much different from the last ones we've seen? Pretty much the same.
Pretty much, with features which make sure that the application that has been in the works for some time can proceed. It minimises any risk of being knocked back around the design that's being put forward.
Are there conditions as far as the board goes, Prime Minister, the government putting conditions on the board who might be appointed to that board?
That's not a level of detail I've come with today. We haven't actually addressed that issue today. I think that's been in discussions we've had in the past around the governance arrangements. Okay, other matters dealt with today. We've approved for introduction the major rewrite of the Police Act. You may recall that there was a consultation document which was very detailed that went out on this within the past year, and after the public consultation we've taken the policy decisions. We have a bill ready for introduction on that. First major rewrite of the Police Act in many years. A couple of international agreements that we have agreed we should become a party to. There's the updated International Tropical Timber Agreement, and a national interest analysis will go to the Select Committee on that. That's from the Minister of Forestry. And for the Minister of Foreign Affairs, a paper we've agreed to sign up to the liability annex to the Protocol on Environmental Protection under the Antarctic Treaty. There'll be a national interest analysis goes to the Select Committee on that as well. Also agreed to a consultation document going out on New Zealand AIDS Draft Humanitarian Action Plan. This gives the strategy around how we prioritise emergency and humanitarian assistance at times of disaster. We've also agreed to the agreement in principle to be signed on Saturday with Ngāti Kahu Ki Whangaroa. Michael Cullen will be at that. You'll note there's quite a lot of momentum around treaty settlement issues at the moment with the major announcement around Taranaki Whanui Tenth Trust here in Wellington last Thursday, and also the significant announcement out of Tainui at the weekend as well with respect to the Waikato River claim. We have taken decisions on a number of new initiatives to promote road safety, which involve changes to the law, and Harry Dienhoven will be announcing what those are in the run-up to Christmas, which will serve as a good reminder of the need for safe driving to minimise tragedy for families. We have taken the annual decision on the minimum wage review, and Trevor Mallard will be announcing that in the course of the next few days. We've agreed to the public release of a discussion paper on the review of regulation for digital broadcasting. New technologies are throwing up quite a range of issues, so putting out that for consultation. There have been amendments agreed to be promoted to the Motor Vehicle Sales Act to reduce compliance costs while maintaining consumer protection. We've agreed to the release of discussion documents on electricity and gas safety issues and regulations. Agreed to the publication of the New Zealand Suicide Prevention Action Plan, and to a discussion document going out on proposed regulated sales weighted fuel economy standard for the light vehicle fleet. Otherwise, this week the House meets for questions tomorrow. There is the third reading of the Electoral Finance Bill yet to be completed, and of course the adjournment motion. If you ask when it will finish, I will say how long is a piece of string. That's entirely in the hands of members. Otherwise, coming out this week, obviously announcements around some of the decisions I've referred to today. I mentioned last week new measures around the regulation of insurance providers. I think Michael Cullen may have a statement out on that today. Workplace safety campaign statement for agriculture and forestry sectors should be out today. At some point over the next week, David Cunliffe will announce the decision that has been pending on the xenotransplantation application, which has been before him. Tomorrow there will be the half-yearly economic and fiscal update from Michael Cullen and the Treasury. And as I say, apart from that, a number of other statements rising out of today's decisions and other matters I've alluded to over the last couple of weeks. A couple of statements from me. First one from me and Phil Goff about medals for service in Timor and the Solomons. We are awarding a new medal recognising service of Kiwis in East Timor since 28 April last year and the problems there. Different sort of medal from what we've awarded there in more recent times. And also the Solomon Islands General Service Medal is being extended, with eligibility also going to those who were on the Navy frigates in the vicinity of Honiara in 2000-2001. And the other announcement concerns the government's support for the A1 GP World Cup of Motorsport Championship. Now, there's a government grant of $750,000 going into that. The fifth round of the championship's been held in Taupo in January, and this grant helps secure what is a prestigious international event in the motor racing world. And it's also significant that this year the A1 GP is switching to a biofuel mix for the first time for competitors in Taupo. So that's quite a significant move. Any questions?
On that minimum wage announcement that you just made, have you agreed in principle to that $12 figure?
That'll be an announcement that comes, but you'll be aware that in the agreements we had in the post-election period, we said the aspiration was to move to that level.
That was if economic conditions applied.
It probably was qualified like that.
And
no, I'm not announcing the decision today.
Do you think the last trip, the two polls that came out last night might be telling you that people don't like the electric finance bill?
I think what they're saying is that it's been a reasonably rough month. I've seen polls in the last month which had a gap of 4 or 5 points, and I've seen obviously the two from last night. So there'll be a range of issues in there, and obviously that gives the government things to reflect on over the summer period and come back refreshed, determined to put the best foot forward.
Can I put that another way? What other than the electoral finance bill could be responsible for?
Oh, I'm proposed to do an analysis of that here. Suffice it to say, this is a year that's had its challenges in a number of respects.
You mentioned the road safety initiatives of Harry Dynhoven. Is that in the form of reminders to motorists?
No, it's actually legislative changes that are going to be proposed to make it clear that unsafe driving behaviours are going to face more stiff penalties.
It's not changes to the road code.
No.
So is it simply if you careless drive or dangerous drive, you face a higher penalty? There's not new actual charges?
Not to my recollection. It's more around the level of severity with which a range of things are treated.
The Waitangi Trust has announced that there will be no fee for entering Waitangi. Are you happy with that, or is the government still conducting this review?
I'd be absolutely delighted to have no fee at Waitangi. I haven't seen that announcement, by the way, but I've long felt that it's highly desirable for Kiwis to be able to go to the place which is considered the birthplace of the nation and see the Treaty House free of charge. So if that's the case, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, could you make a Mike Moore's comments released yesterday as comments?
I don't usually engage on those sort of comments.
Keith Lock has suggested that you take over the whole decision about the tasers. What do you think of that idea?
Well, I think I'll wait for the police to come up with their review of it. The government agreed to the police having a trial. The police are still evaluating that. I think it's a proper process and it should see its course. And at that point, I'm not clear standing here whether it's an operational decision for them or something that will come back to the cabinet. But it's not something I propose to leap in and over a proper evaluation process on.
You mentioned some months ago that you might like to taser Peter Miller.
Well, I doubt that the evaluation will recommend that course of action.
Do you have a view on whether the $158,000 is New Zealand First's money or taxpayers' money to give away?
I really don't have any view on what another party should do in response to a well-known report by the Auditor General. We made our own decisions, and it's up to others to make theirs.
Damien O'Connor had expressed some concerns about the new tertiary funding reforms on smaller polytechs. Did that go to Cabinet at all today?
No, those were decisions announced by the Tertiary Education Commission on Friday, and they were in line with reforms which have been signalled for quite a long time, which are about moving the tertiary sector away from the simple numbers game to quality and courses being funded which are of value. So I think that if you look into the full background of them, most people think the decision's pretty fair.
So you don't think his concerns were justified?
Oh, well, I don't really know that he has voiced particular concerns. He was certainly looking to work through with Pete Hodgson what the decisions were. I think the Polytechnic in his area was one that had a lot of out-of-area provision, but I understand that in a number of areas like the scaffolding courses, which are very helpful to a booming building industry, no one else was doing it, and so it may well be that they've lived to fight another day on that.
Do you have an opinion on Tim Sherbelt's stance on the results?
Well, what I can say is that Pete Hodgson will be meeting with Southland Institute of Technology tomorrow. It's clear that there are more places being funded in Southland under these announcements than were being funded last year. So I think it's important that the facts go on the table. The issue for Southland was out-of-area provision, and it was able to compete in, say, the Christchurch market against the local polytechnic there with zero fees, with support, of course, from Southland Community Capital. Now, in essence, Southland is being told that its prime responsibility is to Southland, and that the number of students it will have funded there is greater than the number which was funded last year.
It still receives a cut of its funding overall, doesn't it? About $6 million or something.
It gets more funded places in Southland. It's also got to be remembered that in 2006 the Tertiary Education Commission wrote to Southland along with all other tertiary institutions and advised all of them not to pump up numbers in 2007 because funding decisions would be based on 2006 numbers. Notwithstanding that, Southland did bump up numbers considerably, including through an internet-based course. Now, the Tertiary Education Commission at the moment simply does not have the information it would need to determine whether it should be funding that course, and if so, at what level. So it's quite clear that Southland has behaved in a way that isn't consistent with the advice that it received.
Do you think those Shadbolt ads that you've seen in the paper or not, do you think they break the requirements?
I don't believe issues ads do at all.
What about an ad that says, it wants to bring down the government over an issue?
Well, then it becomes a registered third party and acts accordingly. If you don't do that, then you open the way to any vested interest with deep politics, deep pockets, campaigning on an open-ended basis, which of course makes a mockery of any attempt to put limits around campaign spending.
Do you think political advertisements in January should be treated differently by the Electoral Commission to advertisements published a month out from the election?
I don't really know where that question's heading, frankly.
Well, it's about the application of the new law.
Well, the law is due to come into effect from the 1st of January, and the law is the law.
Yeah. So you think there is a bright line on January the 1st?
Well, as far as I'm aware, the law is the law.
Do you feel it was worth it, in retrospect, the last few months of argument about this bill, which seems to, spurred opposition to the government?
Well, the National Party was always going to campaign against campaign spending reform, which sought to stop the rorts of the last election. And remember, they helped devise a campaign by the Exclusive Brethren, which pumped a lot of money into communication on their behalf, without ever saying vote national. Now, that is not what campaign spending law ever envisaged. Of course, Labor had some support from unions. We added that into our campaign return. The National Party worked with the Brethren to allow a very large amount of money to be spent, which was not attributable. And when your campaign law is rorted to that extent, you have to take a fresh look at it. And I don't believe there's anything extraordinary about the campaign law reform here compared with overseas jurisdictions. Every democracy tries to stop the power of big money in politics.
However, given the way it's played, do you think it's been bad for the party over the...
Well, I think it's inevitable that it will generate controversy, because you have a party which managed to get very big spending on its behalf right through the campaign law.
From the reforms.
Well, that remains to be seen, doesn't it?